Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hello and welcome to So I Got to Thinking, the weekly podcast where we take the timeless questions of Carrie Bradshaw and apply them to modern life and love. You're listening to Manhattan Hoosie What's It, Juno Dawson, and Peekaball, Dylan B. Jones. Hi, Dylan.
Hi, Juno. And for listeners who didn't get that deep reference, those are the toys that Charlotte buys for Miranda's baby shower.
Indeed, because this week we are listening to, or rather we've been watching, season 4, episode 17, A Vogue Idea.
And we're flustered and blustered this week because
We've been blown.
Much like Samantha's various exploits, we've been blown. Mm-hmm. We've got Storm Eunice to contend with. Juno is trapped in a hotel room in Clapham. We're also confused because listeners will have had the return to Sex and the City last week. We recorded that before And Just Like That. So for us, it's our first return back to the original, to the OG since And Just Like That. But you've already heard one and there's a storm and yeah, we don't know what's going on.
I know that watching this episode, it's very odd how Sex and the City and Just Like That feel like different shows.
Oh God, yeah. I thought the same.
Like that was really clear. Like it was very hard for me to connect pregnant Miranda with Che Diaz Miranda.
Yeah, not the same character, not played the same, not written the same, none of it. Just not the same.
Although people change in 20 years, I guess, is what everybody would say, which is, of course, Miranda has changed.
Yeah.
It's been 20 years. But it is strange to roll back the years and see where Brady began before he was having loads of sex with his slightly obnoxious girlfriend. The inception, literally, of Brady Brady. I still think he's called Brady Brady.
Brady Brady.
Yeah, so let's go back in time. It's business as usual again.
Yeah.
Oh, how reassuring. We don't have to talk about gender politics or non-binary children or Black Lives Matter. We can just talk about Me Too. Because this week Carrie gets a Me Too moment. But Dylan, do you want to do a potted synopsis?
Yes. So really great episode. I don't know if it was just coming back to it from And Just Like That or what, but I was here for this episode. So Miranda is very pregnant at this point, and lets Charlotte organize a baby shower for her because Charlotte says it'll be good for me, which is really nice. And there's lots of like funny, touching, awkward exchanges between Charlotte and Miranda this week. Samantha and Richard. Samantha is celebrating Richard's birthday. So Richard, quick reminder, is the hotelier who Samantha is dating. and is falling for, wants to be monogamous with, which is very unusual for Samantha. But despite this, she decides to organise a threesome for his birthday. Because it's Samantha.
With a 21-year-old.
With a 21-year-old. And can I just say, what a tonic to see Kim Cattrall back on our screens again.
Yeah.
And Carrie... Cookie's drunk.
Drunk at Vogue.
Drunk at Vogue. Yeah, Carrie, in a quite an iconic like part of her journey, starts her first forays into writing for Vogue. And we meet Candace Bergen as Enid, Storm Enid, and what is his name? Ron Rifkin as Julian as well.
Of Alias. Yeah. No, not Alias. Mm-hmm. Was he Alias?
Oh, yes.
Olafem Nikita.
He was, I think he was the boss, yeah, an Alias.
Yeah.
I think.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's been in all sorts as well. He's one of those kind of real sort of mainstays of any sort of TV show.
I like him. Maybe not this character, I like him.
No, no. And let's start with Carrie, as ever. She's had a breakup, so she's got her breakup haircut, which is very true to life. You know when a woman is going through emotional turmoil when she gets an unexpected haircut.
Mm. She does it again in the first movie. She dyes it dark brown.
Her head goes entirely. She gets a nasty wig in the first film. She gets an unconvincing wig in Sex and the City 1. Yes, she knows she had her haircut.
Oh, she did. She did. What do we think? What do you think of the haircut?
Oh, I love it. And I remember at the time being shocked because I didn't know it was about to happen as well. And obviously we've gotten to know Carrie and Sarah Jessica Parker at large of having the big curly blonde hair. And she's always as Carrie Bradshaw. Although actually, if you roll it right back to the pilot episode, where she did have much shorter hair. But other than that, she's always had kind of, it's always been beyond shoulder length.
Yeah.
It's really, really cute. I love... Again, it's Carrie Bradshaw, so of course she's cosplaying.
Yes.
And I love her power dressing at Vogue. I'm a size 2 and I skip breakfast, which should be perfect for Vogue.
That was a great line. I really appreciate that line. The brooch. What do we think
love
of the
it,
brooch?
Love it, the cameo. Yeah. It's gorgeous.
I like the brooch.
I think it's stunning. And it's funny, outside of this episode, because she basically wears a twist on the same outfit twice.
Yes.
When she goes into Condé Nast. She wears one sort of pinstripe skirt suit and then one sort of lead grey skirt
suit. That was gorgeous, that one.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I love it. Possibly Vivian Westwood, I would need to check that. Mm. But really chic. And I do love that Carrie. She always dresses for occasionally. In podcast terms, last week, of course, she went to visit Big well dressed as a 1950s secretary. This week, she's dressing as like an 80s power broker from Fatal Attraction to meet with Enid. And
I adored all of it, like all of the stuff at Vogue. I loved it. I love when Sarah Jessica Parker slops a martini around and falls.
I spilled
at Vogue. And falls into like falling into the rack of coats, like just unhinged behavior, like. and it was very, I imagine the writers, makers of The Devil Wears Prada took notes from this episode because there were very close resemblances. Like, Enid was very similar to Miranda Priestly,
yeah.
Julian was very similar to Stanley Tucci, and Carrie in some ways was very similar to Anne Hathaway as well.
Andy,
that's
I really think. Cool. Obviously, you can see that the brand of Vogue has been involved. But it's so interesting because I tell you what, this wouldn't happen now.
Yeah.
The notion that there would be a sexual predator within Vogue would not have gone down.
Well.
You would have had to create a fictional magazine. Which is even when you look at The Devil Wears Prada, it's clearly a stand-in for Vogue because we know the semi-autobiographical novel the film is based on was based on one of Anna Wintour's assistants, allegedly.
And The Devil Wears Prada does a very good job of kind of poking fun at like Vogue and the fashion industry a little bit, but also very much respecting it.
Maybe it's for a different podcast, but I really, really like the scene where Miranda Priestly schools Andy about...
Yes, iconic.
You know, this is irrelevant to you, you know, this is frivolous to you. And then, of course, you know, the fashion industry is one of the biggest employers in the world. So, it was great to see Vogue collaborating because it grounds it in reality and it feels like, and it has always felt like, these four women live in the real world.
Yes.
And having it at a real magazine that we all know really well, and having the "please tell me that wasn't Anna Wintour" moment was lovely. You know, it feels really real and it feels right. It feels like Carrie is the kind of writer who would be asked to contribute to Vogue. Now here we go. I've never been asked to write for Vogue, and it really hurts because I've written for everyone else. All I can think is that early in my career, in like 2015, obviously my good pal, Joe Elvin, reached out to me and asked me to write my column at Glamour. Uh-huh. And I wonder if there was some like Condé Nast, you cannot cross the streams politics, because Glamour is also a Condé Nast title. And I wonder if I was team Glamour. So I was never asked to write for Vogue, whereas Paris Lees, Sean Fay, every other fucking trans woman in the country has written for Vogue except me. It's just me, writer, best-selling writer Juno Dawson, and I have not been asked to write for British
you're not,
Vogue.
I can see you're not bothered by it at all.
I'm traumatised. I have to have special therapy.
But you know what? You're probably right, because magazine, it's so fucking stupid, but like the magazine industry really is like that. Like, I wrote a couple of pieces for Attitude and was basically blacklisted by Gay Times because, oh, he's written
correct.
For Attitude.
That is,
like, who fucking
cares? That is something that happens.
Who cares? Who cares? Grow up. I can say that. I can say that now.
Now Dylan will write for neither.
Now that I'm not in journalism anymore, I can say that.
But no, I think actually, I mean, there is the line, you can see the line that had clearly been okayed by Condé Nast, which was that I got to write for one of the most, what was it? Provocative and relevant publications of our time.
Yeah.
And what's interesting, it would be really easy to laugh at that and be like, sure, Jan, it's, you know, it's not Time magazine, but we have the editor of Time magazine, if you remember.
Yes.
We had Siren on the pod. But to Carrie, let's not forget, Carrie used to skip food to buy Vogue during the height of her anorexia, apparently. But also, what might have looked like a slightly glib, brown-nosing line. Look at what Edward fucking Enninful has done to British Vogue.
Yeah.
You know, it is provocative and relevant. I don't see many other publications in this dreary little island that we live on celebrating Black women, celebrating women of colour, celebrating trans women the way that Vogue is doing at the moment. And I tell you what, I would trust what Vogue was telling me at the moment ahead of what The Guardian is telling me at the moment.
Well,
so,
yeah.
So,
and this is when, this is when I think, like, it's, they're often, like, collaborations and product placement and stuff often really diminishes a show. But this is when it really works, when it makes total sense for the character and is completely convincing and something good comes out of it. I think it's really important for, I think I don't mind things like this as long as they make sense.
And it's interesting. I mean, the idea that you're allowed, Vogue USA has allowed there to be the Enid character, which again doesn't portray Vogue in the best possible light. The fact there is a very hard faced editor. And I respect that. I respect that Vogue wasn't too precious. Although I wonder if the reason that going forward shows like Ugly Betty and The Devil Wears Prada are absolutely not allowed to mention Vogue, it's potentially because of the fact Sex and the City suggested there were active sexual predators working at Vogue who get no comeuppance. So let's deal with that right at the back. Where's my Che Diaz? Woke alert. Boop, woke alert. Because actually this one is really, really interesting as a museum piece. It should maybe be studied in like media studies degree courses.
The way it's portrayed is
the music. Yes. So to put it into context, so if you've not watched the episode in a while, Carrie has got a piece at Vogue. She's supposed to be writing about accessories, but she's done kind of what a lot of writers do, is which is she's replicated her usual column for Vogue. And Vogue does have a very specific position, which is it's about clothes.
I loved it when I loved it when Enid said, "This is just your newspaper column with the word style jammed in where the word sex used to be." Ouch.
Ouch. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
But Carrie is then taken under the tutelage of the man whose name I... Julian. She's taken under the tutelage of Julian, who... Okay, let's present the case. First of all, he gets her drunk.
Yeah. Yes, and...
Which is coercive and...
And I kind of thought, he didn't... he did eventually be like, okay, you need to go home. But he, sat and watched mm-hmm. her for, way too long, mm-hmm. Falling around, making a fool of herself.
If you took out the jaunty little soundtrack, we're watching a horror film, which is this is about a man in a position of power. So he's her employer. He holds her career in his hands. He gets her drunk. He takes her out for food again, where he persists in getting her drunk. He gaslights her in that he talks about her failure at relationships. He questions... You know, has her father and her relationship with her father messed her up? He gains her trust by telling her about his wife and his daughter. And then he gets her late at night in an empty office. He takes her to a closed room where Carrie hasn't got a way out. And then he exposes himself to her, which is a crime. So I really stood at this scene more than I ever have before. So it's got this crazy clown music all the way across. It goes...
Yeah.
When Carrie's like, stop. Like, Julian, pull your pants up. Like, if you took that music out, what you have is a woman expressing that she's deeply, deeply uncomfortable with the situation. She says, stop, what are you doing? Pull your pants up, Julian, stop.
Yeah.
You know, then she tries to make a joke out of it. She suffered... This is a sexual assault. I mean, we can't really describe it in any other way because it's such... The sexual attention is so unwanted.
It's the fact that she... Because I was kind of analysing it as well. And it's the fact that she asks him, three or four times and is clearly uncomfortable. Yeah, I think, that's clearly... a line crossed, isn't it? For sure.
Mm. Did we see who wrote this episode?
No, but I'm curious.
See, this episode was written by Alan Heinberg, who it's not a name I recognise from the show. I'm wondering if it's a gay man, because it's really, really interesting that this writer hasn't clocked the position he's put Carrie in.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. He wrote Wonder Woman.
Wow.
Oh my God, he's done all sorts, Dylan. He's done Gilmore Girls, OC, Grey's Anatomy. He was exec producer on Grey's Anatomy, on Scandal.
Could it be possible that, I mean, this might be giving him and the show too much credit. Could it be possible that this was them trying to very lightly reference the sort of thing, that this sort of thing happens all the time and people think it's a bit of a joke? Is that reading too much into it?
No, I don't think it's that knowing. I don't think it's that knowing. Because, and for that reason, and maybe this shows how much we've changed as a society, or maybe how much I've changed as a viewer, but I didn't clock it as being... when I saw this, I would have been, 19? I didn't clock it as sexual assault, and I don't think I recognised how much danger Carrie was in that episode. But the fact that Julian has no comeuppance, he keeps his job, so that the consequence is that Carrie from that day forward only works with Enid. Mm. But, you know, does she tell Virg that Julian sexually harassed her? Or is Julian free to sexually harass other people?
This is the thing, and this is how much things have changed. I would think probably she does tell them, people, and people are like, oh yeah, that's just Julian,
just Julian. Yeah. What's he like?
That's what happened. Even I, a few years ago, had a comparable experience, and I didn't think anything of it because I was like, that's just what happens. Men, we're in media, these things happen, it's all fun. Interesting. But I will say Carrie handled it very well, I thought. Apart from perhaps not visibly raising his behaviour with other people. But I thought she did...
It's difficult, isn't it? Because we don't really know what's happened there. I mean, maybe the makers of this would argue that actually Julian was disciplined. Maybe Julian was fired.
Yeah, we don't know.
But it seems like, yeah, it seems that he's been at Vogue for a very long time. And the sad fact is that somebody would have probably protected him. Somebody, you know, that in narrative terms, you'd like to think he gets his comeuppance. But I think in real life, we all know that there are men like Julian in every organisation.
Oh, yeah.
And that by and large, they do get away with it.
Yeah.
And that is the global shift that Me Too has brought about, which is we're just starting to see some men not get away with it. Like, I don't see how, obviously a lot of chat this week about Prince Andrew. You know, how is, that's it, he's done. Joss Whedon, Harvey Weinstein. I think these men are done. I don't see them meaningfully working in the media again, because women... And men, we are demanding, you know, some sort of reparations for these men's behaviour, and that's why I think the writers didn't recognise what was going on, because it paints everybody in a really, it paints Vogue in a bad light. I'm surprised that Vogue didn't pick up on this and be like, no, you literally cannot suggest that our editors sexually harass women. And because it also paints Vogue in quite a poor light.
Yeah. Well, maybe God, because I was wondering, like, maybe Vogue weren't aware of that, like, element of the story and how did this get through and stuff. But maybe it was literally, like, not even an issue. Maybe they saw it, like, approved it and were like, oh, yeah, that's funny, like, at the time.
That's funny. Yeah, it's funny. It's hilarious. And then this guy is wearing his Versace.
Which speaks volumes, doesn't it, about how much things have changed. Mm. But it's good. It's good. Mm. It's great, isn't it, that things have changed so much?
Yeah, and I think it's... So the bit that I don't take issue with is that I can fully believe it would happen.
Mm.
And actually, it's maybe, you know, in that sort of weird thing of, like, the weird omissions that Sex and the City made, it's interesting that they don't talk about sexual assault. I mean, in a way, I'm surprised and just like that didn't talk about sexual assault, because... And yeah. Just like that felt more confident in tackling feminist issues. And that there is no group of four women who do not have stories to tell about sexual assault. I have my story about a man who basically groomed me in the publishing industry. And I've thought a very long time about whether or not to talk openly about the man who was very inappropriate with me. And he still works in the industry.
Wow.
But I just think now is not the time, and certainly the podcast is not the time to out him. But I do what a lot of women do, which is I contribute to the Whisper Network. So right. We all know. Like
right.
Everybody knows which men to avoid, you know, and that's the way women have had to do it for years and years and years, isn't it? I think his behavior will catch up with him. Uh-huh. I do. I think it will. It's a really difficult one. And so, yeah, of those four women, of Charlotte, Miranda, Samantha and Carrie, of course these women have dealt with predatory men and sexual assault and men who do not respect their boundaries, because that is what it is to be a woman.
Yeah.
So I don't take issue with the fact that this is something they've approached. What I take issue with is that it's played for laughs.
Yeah, weird.
And that Carrie's like, oh, I'll work with Enid instead. She doesn't try to rape me. Wow, if only there was a middle ground, you know.
So
Charlotte says, these are our choices. Your choices are, you can either work with a bully or a sexual predator. Those are your choices, Carrie Bradshaw. Which would you rather? So it's bleak, isn't it? I mean, that is bleak in a way, but I think it's funny, the show didn't know what it was doing, and I don't think it knew it was doing this. So it's kind of, it's...
You're right, it's a very...
interesting, I'd love
it. It's a very interesting historical piece. A time capsule.
It's interesting to talk to them now, like to talk to Sarah Jessica or Michael Patrick King now and be like, you know, when you made this episode, did you realise that, you know, this was a Me Too moment? This is Carrie Bradshaw's Me Too moment, where she's essentially groomed by a man and then sexually assaulted, you know? And then he receives no consequences. Have you seen online that the reworked trailer for Mary Poppins, whereby if you change the music and the voiceover, you can make Mary Poppins look like a horror film?
Oh my God.
And I think it's that, which is with a different framing, this episode could have been traumatic and really scary.
Yeah.
But instead, they've put the jazzy music on.
Yeah, I imagine if we raised it with Michael Patrick King, and or SJP, they'd probably go, oh God, oh yeah. Like they'd suddenly realize, probably having not thought about it for 20 years. One, on a slightly lighter note, line that I enjoyed that was very Carrie was at the beginning when she said, I had a new mortgage and as a result, a new job, which is so Carrie to like submit one article that got rejected and be like, I've got a new job at Vogue. very Carrie.
She did say, well, she did say she'd got Vogue up to, was it like, what was it?
A pound a word, a dollar a word.
$5 a word or something.
Ridiculous.
But she's doing well for the 90s. But let's take a little break. And when we come back, we will discuss father figures and Samantha's three-way. We'll see you in a second.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hello, welcome back. Today we are drunk at Vogue, as we discuss season 4, episode 17 of Vogue Ideas, one of those classic episodes that everybody loves. Okay, we've dealt with the serious stuff. Let's just talk about the ridiculous stuff. shall we talk about father figures first?
Yeah.
Because actually this could be quite sad. So the theme of this episode, and that's something I think we all slightly missed in on Just Like That, which is the lovely themes. And this week we're looking at father figures. Mm. So we've got fucking Julian. We've dealt with him. We've got Miranda having to be both mother and father to Brady and indeed Charlotte. And then we've got the dark father figure of Richard Wright to contend with as well, Daddy. So let's first of all attempt, should we try to answer Kerry's question now or should we try to answer Kerry's question at the end?
Maybe we'll discuss and then we can answer it.
Okay. So Kerry's question this week is, how much does a father figure?
Yeah.
Which I like this one because we've certainly never had this question before. You know, sometimes we kind of have to repeat ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, hang on, we've answered this question. We've talked about cheating and monogamy several times. How much does a father figure? I think it's a really interesting question for us to get into, actually. How much, Dylan, do you think a father figures?
I don't know. And I thought it was really interesting in her voiceover when she said, some say a daughter's relationship with her father is the model for all her future relationships with men. I wrote down, wow, in my notes, because I'm not sure. Is it complete bollocks, or is it? Because obviously it applies to obviously it can apply to not just daughters, anyone who dates men. It's very gendered question. Very gendered question as well. Yeah, I think it's largely probably pop psychology 90s bullshit. But I think for some people there might be a bit of truth in it. All gay men have, and I imagine trans women have, interesting relationships with their dads. I had an amazing relationship with my dad up until, and he was like amazing with the gay thing, like flawless, up until I left home and went to uni, and it's kind of fallen apart, to be honest. And what's weird, and like, I don't know, we speak very occasionally, like on my birthday, he sends me an email. But I don't really know like where he is or what he's doing, and haven't for like a decade. And I feel like I don't care about it, but I'm wondering if I do deep down somewhere, and it's like a subconscious thing that must be really affecting me.
How odd.
Yeah.
Not to go full therapist, but where do you think it went awry if things were going so well until you were 18?
But this is the great mystery. I don't know. I wonder if sort of, it was, well, obviously my leaving was the catalyst, me not being in the house anymore, which is really interesting, and rare, like strange. Yeah, I don't know. And I do wonder if it's affected my relationships with men. I haven't got like a stereotypical, like, quote unquote daddy, like that's the textbook, isn't it? Like, you date older men if you had daddy issues, which I think, again, it's one of those things where it probably does apply to some people, but like with anything, you can't say it. Like, I think all blanket rules are bullshit, because there are always exceptions.
Of course.
Always case-by-case stuff. So I think that a father figure doesn't figure, necessarily. I think for some people it does.
But... You see, I disagree. So I think... Well, so it's funny, because there isn't, with the exception of Miranda's mum dying, there isn't a massive episode looking at motherhood.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get to it. We'll discuss, obviously Miranda's about to become a mother, and then stuff with Charlotte later in, and just like that. But I think your relationship with your parents is so definitive. And for me, so my relationship on a personal level with my dad got much, much better when I transitioned.
Wow.
I think he finally understood who I was, especially because I have a sister. So he much quicker than my mum, actually, just adjusted. He's like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Wow.
I've been trying to treat her like a son, but she's a daughter.
Right.
And because I'm quite stereotypically girly in lots of ways, it made lots of sense for him. And so actually we've become much, much closer. But the way that my father figured is in the fact that, you know, and it's difficult. I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty of things in a podcast.
Yeah.
But, you know, my mum and dad's marriage broke down when I was seven.
Yeah.
And, you know, that has really affected how I see relationships. And I grew up just kind of thinking that men, by and large, couldn't be trusted, and that any woman would be a fool to rely on a man. And that's true to this day. I cannot let myself fully rely on a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm literally married to one. But, you know, I work very hard. I make sure I'm independent. I'm financially independent. And I keep a little bit of emotional independence. I sort of tell myself, you know, Max could leave tomorrow, so you need to be ready for that. Like, it's almost like I've got the bomb shelter ready, kind of. Mm. You know, if Max was to just leave one day, which is what my dad did, then I would be like, right, told you so, knew that was going to happen. Men cannot be trusted. At least you've got your dog. And so I think even though I have a really, really good relationship with my dad. And if you watched me on Transformation Street a few years back, my dad took part in that documentary and he was wonderful. And a lot of the feedback I got was how wonderful my dad was. And he is wonderful. But the way that his marriage broke down has left me really unable to regard marriage. And you will notice, Dylan, as you were there, when Max and I got married, we did not agree to forever and ever.
Yes.
Because I've never seen that. I've never seen a marriage last forever. So I certainly wasn't going to make a promise I don't believe in.
Yeah. And it's like we said, I forget what episode it was, but we were talking about marriage. And we said, like, the forever thing is so, like, intense and weird. And why was it ever a thing in the first place? But it's another interesting thing. Is this the first time we hear about Carrie's family? In, like,
yes,
sort of
the
meaningful...
only time. The first and only time. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. And we even see a photo of her with her dad. Mm-hmm. The only glimpse we get into Carrie's kind of background, really.
And this is why I could never fuck with the Carrie Diaries, you know, the brief teen spin-off with Anna Sophia Robb, because it's about Carrie lives with her dad as a teenager. And I was like, nope, this is not canonical. Yeah. We know from the main show that Carrie did not have a relationship with her dad. So either you've got to keep the continuity, kids. Otherwise, it's a no-go for me. So I couldn't even watch that show because I was like, nope, this is not Carrie Bradshaw. This is a lie. Or we're in the multiverse again, which we cannot speak of. I think our relationships with our caregivers is really, I think it changes us for life.
Yeah.
So I do think my answer to Carrie's question is, I think a father figure really figures.
Interesting.
But now let's... My God, this one's such a heavy podcast. My God. Do you know what this is? Because I'm trapped in a hotel in a hurricane. So this is what you do when you're trapped in a hotel in a hurricane. I would love to talk about Alexa. Hey, Alexa, play Threesome. I love it. I love Alexa. I'm ready for anything.
And just takes the halter neck off and just gets on with it. And then I loved Samantha, like,
Stan.
I loved Samantha, like, pissed off competing with her, like, Juno and I are doing, like, motions on Zoom, so listeners can't see, but, like, shoving her top down too. I didn't think I would ever say this. Samantha was wrong. Samantha was wrong. Samantha was wrong to... Samantha organised the threesome for the wrong reasons. She organised it to try and keep Richard from cheating, which is definitely the wrong reason to organise a threesome. Never do that. Don't try this at home. And Charlotte clocked it. Charlotte was like, what did Charlotte say?
Yeah, it's like, you're just the idiot who had sex with him on a golf course. because you have to go into it for three. So basically, Samantha should have done this three-way because she fancied Alexa.
Yeah.
And we know that Samantha is sometimes attracted to women.
Yeah.
Because it was this season, cast your mind back, that she was with Maria. So
as if,
it's not beyond the...
As if that was this season.
That was this season. I regret to inform you that when we started season four, 14 years ago, whatever it was, that was this season. God, that does feel... I feel I've aged. And just like that has aged me, Dylan. I was a younger woman when Maria was on the scene. Bada-bing! A little firework. Alexa is played by an actor called Rachel Nichols.
Gorgeous.
She's been in all kinds of things. Yeah, she is gorgeous. She was the series lead in, like, a weird science fiction show called Continuum. Continuum. I never know how to say it.
Continuum.
Where she was Kira. So that was like a science fiction thing I watched years and years ago. But she's been in all sorts. She was in Titans. She's one of those, again, kind of faces from off of the television.
Yeah.
That I recognise. But every time I saw her in things afterwards, I was like, where do I know her? She's Alexa from The Three-Way. and I really love her. But I just love... At the time, I don't think they realised they were writing, like, a sex-positive icon. And with very few lines, I'm just like, Alexa, get it. And she loves a daddy. She loves an older man. And she's not scared to role-play her weird sex fantasy.
But Alexa, despite being a sex-positive icon, has quite a shit night because she gets, like, pushed on the floor and kicked off the bed and then booted out of the hotel room or out of Richard's flat. And it ends... surprisingly ends happily for Samantha and Richard. Like, Richard said, let's give it a go. This episode ends happily
again.
Anyway.
Don't get attached.
Yeah.
we know what's coming down the pipeway.
Yeah.
But for 1 week only. I'm not sure, like, would you get Chris a three-way for his birthday?
No.
Do you know what? I think three is a crowd when it comes to sex.
It's too many plates.
I do not think three is the magic number. I think, and we've talked about threesomes before.
Yeah.
I've never had a good one. Or did I? I had an okay one, but more bad than good, I think. And unlike Samantha, at least I wanted to be there. That's...
Actually, as Samantha said before, and then contradicted her own rule, she said it's always best to be the guest star.
Correct. Yes.
So she did not take her own advice. But yeah, that's what I think. I think there's much less complications if you're the guest speaker.
And Richard does not want to be a daddy figure. So no. Yeah, that was the end of Alexa. Back to being a maitre d'. Although, did you notice Samantha quips that she has a busboy coming at midnight?
Yes, I enjoyed that.
I think we know who the busboy is.
Oh my god.
It's Seema's dad from my fan fiction.
Seema's with the he's got a babysitter for Seema and he's coming over. Oh, actually, Seema would be their age. Seema would be like 30. Seema's off with Claire Danes in Homeland. Seema's in America. Seema's fighting for the I don't know. I don't know. I'm so confused.
It's the extended, the multiverse. The Sex and the City Seema multiverse is blowing our minds. Meanwhile, Miranda and Charlotte are together this week. They are combined in one thread, which is lovely. I really like Miranda and Charlotte together.
Yeah.
I think they're a lovely combination. I always have done.
Yeah, really nice.
And it's moving, as well, when Charlotte goes mad, as she often does when she, because this is twice she's gone mad now. First when she was arranging Miranda's mum's funeral, and then now she's organized. In fact, after the funeral, it's amazing Miranda agreed to let Charlotte organize her a baby shower.
She's always, whenever it cuts to Charlotte, she's always like on her phone among like parcels, and like she's always like sort of like bustling around a shop, like desperately trying to get things sorted out.
Peek-a-ball.
Oh, what does she say? She says it has a white chocolate peanut butter baby inside, and you can eat the baby.
You can eat the baby. I love you can eat the baby, and that's what's going to win Miranda around.
Miranda just hangs up.
She is right to hang up. Did you notice? So you know how when we started this podcast, we always said we would do a running tally of speaking people of color.
Yes, the
well,
mum.
It's interesting because we had, okay, so here we have a lawyer, a mum, she has a baby, she has a breast pump, yet she doesn't need to talk about refugees, Black Lives Matter. Isn't it interesting that Sex and the City 20 years ago could have professional Black women, working Black women in their friendship group?
And I also did think, I was like, wait, so Miranda is clearly one of her colleagues is a Black woman, and she seems completely comfortable working with this woman. She hasn't like said anything about her hair. She hasn't fucked up in any way. So why, like 20 years later, does Miranda act like she's meeting a Black person for the first time?
and it goes to show that kind of, You can say a lot without having to literally make it text. Yeah. The subtext there is that Miranda is inclusive and has a diverse friendship group. Again, I wish all of the above just hadn't tried so hard to do so many things with so few episodes. It's a shame. It's a bit of a shame. I loved Miranda's maternal instinct kicking in when Charlotte was upset.
Yeah, that was really
lovely. It was very moving when Charlotte gets the Tiffany's rattle. How rich are fucking Miranda's friends, by the way? How much do we think a Tiffany's rattle costs?
What a waste of money.
Right? Because presumably you would put, you're not going to give that to an actual infant to get sticky, horrible little fingerprints on, are you? So
yeah, it's just an ornament.
So Miranda's rich friends, Miranda's rich friends give her a rattle, and I loved Miranda talking Charlotte round. That was really.
I also really loved Miranda and Charlotte's tiff. Because, and this is credit to the actors as well, because you could somehow tell that like they were like yelling at each other, but you could tell that it was like good, sort of good natured. Like they were sort of like mm-hmm. laughing just below the surface, and they knew it wasn't like a serious thing. And they were sort of like riffing off each other, and like they were like on paper it was quite a serious fight, but really you knew it was all going to be fine. Which was sweet.
Watch the sharp edges.
Yeah. Also, special mention to the conversation between Carrie and Miranda as well. Get off my stoop.
Oh, yeah. That's so lovely. And that I feel did translate to Just Like That. I think the lovely chemistry between the three of them.
Yeah.
Did work. When we saw them together, it was really, really lovely.
Yeah, always.
Even if age has made them a little harder, perhaps. But but I think A Vogue Idea is one of the very best episodes they did. I think it's a really, really wonderful episode. And I think that the fact it doesn't quite know what it's saying with the sort of the sexual assault it makes it interesting anyway. I think, you know, it's not like the transphobia one or the biphobia one where I'm like, we need to cancel this episode immediately. It's kind of like, this is really, it's fascinating that a sexual assault can be viewed so differently 20 years later.
And it's very clear
the way they filmed that scene says about the time as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's just very clearly like something that has evolved and changed rather than a kind of conscious editorial decision like, oh, let's make fun of this. I don't think it was deliberate to like make fun of sexual assault at all. I think it was just...
Yeah, now, 20 years on, we have an entire show about this concept. It's called The Morning Show. And it's Reese Witherspoon and Jeffrey Aniston and Steve Carell dealing with workplace sexual harassment. There is a whole TV show because, I mean, there was like 2 seasons worth of material that you could get out of that storyline, which is Carrie wanting her job at Vogue so she doesn't dare say anything, but she doesn't want to work with an abuser. Oh my God, you know, are people going to accuse Carrie of maybe she shouldn't have worn her tight skirt? You know, there's a whole, you know, there is so much to unpick, but no, they kind of just play it for laughs and she's literally never mentioned it ever again. I wonder if I'm Just Like That were to get a second series, it would be something like that you would maybe expect them to tackle. Looking at workplace sexual harassment, perhaps, because they like I said, they did feel more ready to tackle sort of the big feminist issues, but not that one in season one anyway. Still no decision on Just Like That season two.
Yeah, I was looking it up this morning. I'm poised. Yeah, we'll see. Interesting.
Next week, it's the series finale of season 4. It's iHeart NY with lots and lots of drama.
Yes.
So until next week, like and subscribe. Don't forget to follow us on social media at SIGTT Podcast. And hopefully, I will be out of this hotel room and back in my house. Until then, farewell.
Bye.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.